I want to speak with you about the Lord's benefits. The Lord's benefits to you. This is right out of Psalm 103, where he says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." It's not always that we think about the Lord's benefits to us. Sometimes it almost seems a little irreverent that we would think of the Lord as far as his benefits to us. But the scripture tells us clearly that we ought not forget all his benefits. So I want to speak to you about that today, and perhaps in the next couple episodes as well. First of all, let's read the text. I'm only going to read down to verse 5. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." End quote. So we start out by being commanded to bless the Lord. And we're being commanded, that command is directed to our soul. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me." There are times when our soul has to be commanded to bless the Lord. Times of when we're down, or times where we're confused or fearful, those are the times where we have to command our Lord, "Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless him. Bless him, for he is worthy. And all that is within me." Think of that. All that is within me. Not just some of you, not just part of you, not even part of the part that's suffering at the time, but all of you. Parts of you that perhaps you don't ever consider. Parts of you that perhaps you're ashamed of. Parts of you that perhaps you're a little too proud of. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me." And then he repeats it in verse 2. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." Then verse 3 through 5, of course, sets forth those benefits. And the first benefit we must remember is that he forgives all our iniquities. And this is an ongoing, present tense, continuous action, ongoing forgiveness of sin. "Who forgiveth all thine iniquities," it says in the Authorized Version. And that gives us a sense that it's not just something that happens occasionally. It's not just something that happens even when we ask God to forgive us. God is constantly forgiving his people. God is constantly applying the blood of Jesus to those that belong to him. 1 John 1 tells us that same thing. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's not just a singular event. That is something that happens all the time. If we are continually confessing our sins, simply meaning that we don't walk around confessing our sins all the time, but we confess, meaning we agree with God what is sin. We agree with God. We look at things that we've, a lifestyle from out of which we've come, and we see those things today as sinful. We see them things as abhorrent. We see those things as things we don't want to do. Perhaps we slip back into something from time to time, and we agree immediately with God. This is not something I want to do. I repent of this, and it's happening to me less these days, but I still step into it from time to time. And it's good to know that the Lord is constantly forgiving you, constantly applying the blood of Jesus to you. So we speak of the benefits of the Lord and how he forgiveth all thine iniquities. We're speaking of an ongoing process, ongoing event, something where the blood of Jesus is being applied to you day by day, moment by moment, second by second. For if it were not, you would surely perish. You would surely, the next moment, come under the judgment of God. And that's not something you can imagine. So No, it's something that is being applied to you continually. And the second benefit, of course, is who heals all your diseases. Now, this could be controversial, couldn't it? There could be those who say, well, God doesn't heal all diseases. How can we say that? Well, first of all, we don't always know what God is healing us from. There are things that he heals us from day to day that we don't even know about. We don't want to know the things that God spares us from. We have an immune system, which is a wonderful gift from God, built into our bodies that fights things off daily, bacteria and viruses and things that would destroy us. And perhaps when we do get sick, perhaps seriously sick, we can still appeal to the Lord as our healer. Now, God does heal today. Healing is for today. We have every right to come to God because it says here, he's a healer. He heals all our diseases. All our diseases. This means that any form of healing that comes to us, whether it's through a doctor, through medicine, or direct intervention, comes from the Lord. All things good come from him, who heals all your diseases. Now, there are times, and there are those, of course, for whom we pray, whether it's the elders gathered together, anointing somebody with oil, and we pray for them, and they are healed. Perhaps they even go on to die. We can still understand God to be a healer. And we must not base our faith, our blessing of the Lord, based upon something like that. We have to understand that we do live in a fallen world. Death is still present. Sin and sickness are still present. And for whatever reasons, not everybody gets healed. But we need to rejoice in those who do. And we must always, always understand God to be a healer. Now, I suspect one day we'll understand all these things better. And we'll, of course, the wisdom of God. Oh, the wisdom and the understanding of God is so far beyond ours. But we can understand God today to be a healer. And we can go to him and ask for his healing. We can point to this text. We can say, Lord, you heal all my diseases. The next one is, who redeems your life from destruction? Who redeems your life from destruction? Many of us came to Christ with lives that were destroyed. Many people come out of drugs and alcohol, especially at the Encounter Recovery Ministries here. Many people come out of multiple marriages. Some people come out of domestic violence. Some people come out of just failed lifestyles. They have failed as parents. They have failed as spouses. They have failed to be faithful sons or daughters of their parents. Perhaps they're very guilty of stealing or robbing, or perhaps they've even gone so far as to harm another. Seriously harm, physically harm, maybe even murder another person. There's no end to the destruction that human sin can wrought on a person's life. But it says here that God redeems our life from destruction. Now, before we get too haughty, if we haven't been through any of these kind of things, we must remember that even if we didn't experience drugs and alcohol, a wayward life, maybe we weren't caught up in sexual immorality. Maybe we've never been through a divorce. Maybe we've never been through some serious crime. You know, we've never been in jail. Maybe we've never harmed another person. Maybe you grew up in the church and all has been well with you. It's the Lord who redeemed your life from destruction. All good things come from God. And you don't want to know, even if you've never experienced any of those horrible things, what it was like, what it could have been like, had God not intervened. So rejoice and give the Lord. Bless the Lord, O your soul. Bless the Lord, all our souls. For those of us who never experienced any of those things, that wasn't the case for me, but if you haven't, if you've been able to live a life free from destructive patterns, free from destructive events in your life, then you still have every obligation to give the glory to God. Bless the Lord, O my soul, for redeeming your life from destruction on the front end instead of the back end, meaning that you never had to experience it in the first place. And it says, "We who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies." Isn't that wonderful? You know, many people go through life, many Christians go through their Christian life thinking that somehow that God is kind of against them. I've had people tell me, you know, I grew up thinking God was angry at me and I had to be really careful, or he would knock me down, or he would cause me to suffer. Other people wonder if God really does like them. I mean, we all learn in Sunday school that God likes us, loves us, I should say, but many of us wonder if God really likes us. It reminds me of the old story of the farmer who was out in his field in his tractor one day, and he hit a bump, and the tractor fell over and landed on top of him, and he laid there suffering and wondered if anybody was going to be able to come and help him. And he had a bad year already. The crops had half failed, and the livestock were dying. And he laid there, he looked up at the heaven, and he said, "God, why? Why me?" And God spoke to him and said, "Well, you know, I just never really liked you." Isn't that the image that some people have? They wonder if God really likes them. I've had people tell me, you know, "I know that God loves this person or that person, but I don't know that God really likes me at all. It seems like he's kind of after me." Well, that's not the truth, especially if you are in Christ. If you are in Christ, God extends the same love to you that he has for his son. Nothing less. In fact, it's quite clear, isn't it? He crowns you with loving kindness. Psalm 23 tells us that goodness and mercy, surely goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our lives. Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, not just mercies, as would a king allow for mercies upon a subject, but rather as a father or a mother would have tender mercies towards his or her child. This is important to understand about God. God crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. You'll never be as that farmer in the story. No. God doesn't speak that way to his children. He crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. It says, he goes on to say, he satisfies your mouth with good things. Isn't that interesting? Many of us worry about gluttony. Many of us worry about eating too much these days. What we should eat, how we should eat, when we should eat. But to satisfy your mouth here just means that you have legitimate appetites. God gave you an appetite. He gave you a desire for good things. He gave you a desire to not only enjoy good food, but to have good clothing, to drive a decent car. He wanted you to have a time of rest, a vacation. He wants you to have good things going in your life. He satisfies your mouth, meaning all your appetites, with good things. And he does that so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. You know, sin takes a toll on our body and we age prematurely. Think of it, we were created in Adam to live forever. Our bodies were intended to never die. And even now, they renew themselves in a miraculous way. But we do age. We do age, and God has provided for his people that they would have good things, that they'd be able to enjoy good things, and that they'd be able to do so freely and rejoice, so that their youth, their energy, their vitality can be renewed like the eagles. That's quite an image, isn't it? I saw a picture recently of an eagle flying over a snow-capped mountain range, and with the wings all spread and confident and strong. That's a good image. Your youth is renewed like the eagles. God wants good things for you. God wants you to understand the benefits that he has for you. And he wants you to be able to say, bless the Lord, O my soul. And when you meditate on these good things, these good benefits, we will come to understand that the Lord is worthy of our blessing. But that worthiness is also includes because of his benefits to us. He's the one who forgives all your iniquities. God loves mercy. He loves to show mercy toward us, to forgive our iniquities, to heal our diseases, to redeem our life from destruction, no matter how far down the scale we have gone. He likes to crown you with loving kindness and tender mercies. These are the things the Lord loves to do for his children, for his people. God is a good God. He extends benefits to his people, and we ought not forget them. And we meditate on these things, especially these days, with so much going on in the world, so much negativity, so much fear, so much chaos. If we meditate on these things, we can more easily bless the Lord, and not just have it be a command to our soul, though that's important, but something that spontaneously flows as you begin to grasp the benefits that the Lord has for you. Well, I hope this little word of encouragement has been helpful to you. I have to encourage you to take Psalm 103, 1 through 5, and just meditate on it and give it your thoughts and wonder what it would be like to bless the Lord with all that is within you. Amen.